Well, top of the morning to you. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I see several people wearing green. I didn't wear any, so don't pinch me. Do you remember those days in junior high? Scary days. Little interesting fact about St. Patrick's Day, just because we're celebrating it today. He was neither Irish or Catholic. Did you know that? Hate to blow you out of the water, but St. Patrick was neither Irish nor Catholic. He was actually born in what we would call Great Britain today, probably modern-day Scotland. And he was taken by force as a teenager to Ireland. He was actually a slave. To make a very long story short, really interesting story. And I'm telling this because we're a missional church. This is really an awesome missionary story. It's too bad we don't celebrate it that way, because it truly is a mission story. St. Patrick was taken by force. He was taken in captivity as a slave into Ireland and hated it. He was mistreated, tortured. He was, you know, made a shepherd, watched over sheep and stuff like that. He eventually escaped and went back over to what we'd call mainland Britain and had a really supernatural calling. The Lord spoke to him and he saw a vision of, come little lad, come and speak to us again. It was more or less the calling, if I remember right, the actual words. And he felt like that was a calling to return back to Ireland. By this time, he had become a Christian, and he wanted to go back willingly to Ireland and take the gospel. So Ireland became a Christian nation because of St. Patrick, and that's why he's truly celebrated. So there's some history you probably didn't even ask for, but there you go. Just for fun, because it's St. Patrick's Day. So let's pray this morning as we begin. So God, I want to just thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, to us. Lord, I thank you for beautiful mornings, for a time that we can worship you. Lord, we get to praise your name. We get to just look to you, God. Lord, I pray that you would just meet us, Lord, here today. God, we look to you, our strength, our life, our help. Lord, we just commit this time to you, Lord, right now. Lord, would you just flow through us, that we would hear your word, Lord, that we would be more connected to you, Lord, not because of me preaching or just by showing up here today, but because of your goodness and faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, don't you hate it when you lose something? I don't know about you, but when you lose your car keys, you lose your cell phone, you're hunting around the house for your wallet, you're trying to find all this stuff, you're like, where'd it go? And have you noticed it always seems to happen whenever you're in a hurry? Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? If you're going to miss something and have plenty of time, it doesn't seem like that happens. It's when you're really in a hurry, then all of a sudden you've lost something. Doesn't it seem like that? And it's so frustrating. We can lose things like keys and cell phones, insignificant kind of things, or very significant at the moment when we're in a hurry. But we can also lose some bigger stuff. I know when I became a Christian at 16, I wanted to go to Bible school so badly I could taste it. I really wanted to go into the ministry. The Lord spoke to me very supernaturally through 1 Timothy chapter 4, when Paul writes to Timothy and he says, don't let anyone look down upon you because you're young. It was one of those times where I didn't know where to turn in the Bible. You know, I was a brand new Christian, so I just flipped open my Bible. And I remember reading that scripture. I was like, oh. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, said, you're supposed to go into ministry. I didn't know what. I just knew I was supposed to go. Long story short, I found a Bible school seminary that was there in Denver, Colorado. And as I sometimes joke about, instead of being a seminary, it became a cemetery. Because one of the things I lost was a deeper relationship with the Lord, believe it or not. You know, when you go to school like I did, and I didn't have parents who paid for my education, they didn't believe actually that I should go to Bible college. They wanted me to go to regular university. Another long story. So I had to work. I'd literally start class at 7 in the morning, go through class till about 2 in the afternoon, get my car, and I would go, and I worked two different jobs. I worked for Kmart, hardly any of those around these days. And I worked for an office supply company in Denver, Colorado called Mile High Office Supply, and drove all over town delivering packages and stuff like that. Get home, would study. I was a faithful student. I learned to drink coffee by staying up very late. And I would turn around and do it all over again. And I tell you that story because as much as I didn't want to, I lost my cutting edge. I lost my sense of connection because, unfortunately, as much as I loved Bible school and I loved all of the stuff that I was doing and I loved the Word, I lost my cutting edge because, honestly, my Bible turned into my textbook. You know, it was became the thing you study when you had to go to school. So when you weren't studying, it was like, I want something different. And it's not something like a key or a cell phone you lose right away. It kind of happens gradually. And next thing you know, you've lost your cutting edge. You've lost that sense to connect. Well, today we're going to look at a really interesting story, actually a really bizarre story in the Old Testament. So we're taking a little detour from Athel's Philippians today. He gave me permission. But I think it really relates to the stuff he's been preaching on Philippians. And I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles, to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And we're going to look at just the first 7 verses. It's really a very short story. And if you read it, it's one of those bizarre stories. You almost want to scratch your head and go, why is this in here? It's really kind of bizarre. So I'm just going to read it to all of us real quickly here. 2 Kings chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Now the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, "See, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan and each one of us get a log there, and let us make a place for us to dwell." And he answered and he said, "Go." And then one of them said, "Be pleased to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So they went down with him, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, "Alas, my master, for it was borrowed." Then the son of man said, Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. And Elisha cut off a stick, and he threw it in there, and he made the iron axe head float. And he said, "Take it up." So he reached out his hand, and he took it up. That's it. That's all we know of the story. There isn't any more detail than what I've read there. One of those really interesting stories. But I'm going to propose to you that not only is it a bizarre story tucked away in the Old Testament, it's actually a relevant story for you and me today. It's actually probably more applicable right now, right here, to where some of us are living. So let's talk about some of the background. First, we got two prophets that are well known, at least in the Old Testament, Elisha and Elijah. So most of us know Elijah with the J, one because we just seem to hear more about it. Elisha, the other one, we don't really hear a whole lot about it. But we have these two prophets there. And in the story, right before here, we have in 2 Kings, we have the story where Elijah is taken up into heaven. It's one of the famous kind of Bible school or Sunday school stories that we read. And Elijah was the leader, you know, he was the mentor. He was older, and he had taken Elisha under his wing. And they did some miracles together, and the Lord did some incredible things with Elijah. We think of Mount Horeb, for example, where he took on the idols of Baal and the Baal worshipers. And fire came down and consumed the offering, and we would use the language, people got saved. They came to know who the true living God was. Other miracles we could talk about, Elijah. And then he and Elisha are in earlier of chapter 2, 2 Kings chapter 2. They're about to cross the water, and he takes his mantle and he puts it in the water, and the water parts. It's another one of those parting the water stories. Not as famous as Moses, but it's another one of those. And they walk across. As soon as they get to the other side, this whirlwind, and as the Bible describes it, a chariot of fire, like you can see in this picture, picks up Elijah and he's gone. He's one of the few men in the Bible that actually doesn't die. He gets taken away. Oftentimes we see these as types when you learn to study your Bible, like our Bible school students here that are doing the YWAM SBS, School of Biblical Studies. You start to learn about different kind of types that show up in the Old Testament. And oftentimes they point to things in the New Testament. And so here's Elijah being taken away. Sounds like the church, right? Sounds like Christ going up into the heavens. Lots of different references and connections that we can make there. But Elisha is left. And he says, Lord, I want double the portion of what Elijah, my mentor, had. I want to see twice as many miracles. One of the miracles he does right before this text is he tells Nahum, who's got leprosy, to go dip himself in the water 7 times. And the Lord heals Nahum. It's a powerful story. We don't have time to get into it this morning. But you can see through the story, even though it seems like Elijah with a J is more famous, Elisha with the SH here actually does more miracles. And here in this text for this morning, it's one of those bizarre places where we see this miracle happen of a floating axe head. And it kind of, like I said, it's one of those bizarre stories, sort of tucked in the middle of it. But I believe there's some principles that the Lord wants to speak to us as a church. I believe there's some things there that he wants to show. So let's open up our hearts to what God has for us personally. What God has for us is Grace Point as we learn these lessons. So a couple of different lessons I want to point out for you. And I know it's a potluck Sunday, so I'm just going to say it out loud. I am not going to preach very long. I'm going to try not to, because nothing's worse than in a Baptist church to preach long when you know potluck dinner's waiting. So we're not going to talk that long. And I'm not going to get violent. Don't worry, front row. But I brought an axe. I told someone earlier, depends how the sermon goes. No. I brought an axe. It actually has a cover on it. And it's one of those fancy ones, you know, that you can buy from Home Depot or Lowe's. It's got a plastic handle. It's pretty good ones. It's even got a little hook here. So like when it slips, you know, it hooks and you can still grab it. So I brought it for a demonstration. So imagine with me that here is Elisha and here are these prophets and they're about to go build something. And what we know from the context of the story is the place where they were at was too small. So first of all, I want to point out that they were gathered together. This was the prophets. This was we call it the school of the prophets. They were gathered together. They were spending time with their mentor. They were lucky enough to have Elisha there. Actually, we know from other places in Scripture there was other schools of the prophets. There was one at Gilgal. There was another one at Bethel. There was another one at different places. And here we have this one where they're gathered with Elisha. And they're looking around going, you know, this is really awesome to gather with you, but it's too small. As one modern translation said, it's cramped here. We need a bigger place. So they have a great idea. They said, let's take our axes. Let's go down to the Jordan. Let's go chop some trees. Let's make some logs. And let's build ourselves a bigger place. No, this is not a sermon for a building program, I promise you. Although it could be probably a really good one for the future. But it is one that we can build some principles off. First of all, I want you to notice from the first couple of verses, especially verse 3, that the word us appears. I want you to hear unity. It says that each one went and got a log. They had to have a tool. They had to have an axe. You don't get logs to build unless you take an axe and you start hammering away at that tree. And still you start chopping away. And they needed a tool. What's a principle that we can learn here? First of all, the kingdom of God is the best thing we can be involved in. Do you know that? Building the kingdom, not my kingdom, not Grace Point, not Athel's, not a man's or a structure, is building the kingdom of God. It's building something that's going to be sustainable and last. God's kingdom's the greatest work that we can be involved with. Did you hear that? It really is the greatest thing that we can be involved with. But it takes unity. That's why I want to point out it says us. It wasn't one man's idea. It wasn't just one man's vision. It wasn't just one axe that went into the forest by the Jordan River and started chopping down trees. It was an us. And each man was to get a log. Involvement. It took everybody. We are a church. We're called Grace Point. We sit up on top of this hill. The Lord's given us a lot of promises to be on this hill. We need everybody to be a part. Not just sit in a pew and be here on Sunday, although that's awesome, but in every single way that you've got time and availability so that we become a church that's each one picking up a tool that God has given us. We're going to talk about this tool in a moment and how one of them lost it. But first, we got to have a tool. What's your tool? Maybe it's to teach. We need help in children's Sunday school. I just found out some more information about that today, this morning. We need help in lots of different areas. Next weekend, we've got a prayer, 24-hour prayer time up in the chapel. We need you to sign up. We need you to be involved. We need to show up. I know people say, well, can't I stay at home and pray? Sure. But coming here is part of the us. Coming here and signing up for one of those hours or a couple of hours next Friday night starting at 6 all the way through Saturday to 6 p.m. right upstairs at the chapel. That's us doing us together. Saying, Lord, unless you build the house, we labor in vain. Remind you of a good scripture? So they were gathered. There was the us. They were doing this together. Then that one of them says, not only do they get permission, but one of them says, Elisha, would you go with us? And he says, sure. What's the principle there? You know what? Elisha represents the man of God. Elisha represents, in this case, the presence of the Lord. You know, I can take my axe and I can start swinging it and I can start building and I can start doing all of my tasks as much as I want, much as I can. And I do it alone, I'm tired. If I do it without the help of the Lord, I labor in vain. You see, they didn't just ask for Elijah to go, they wanted his presence. They didn't ask just for permission to go build this, and Elisha stayed back. They said, come with us. We need your presence. See, that's why we do these prayer times. That's why we gather on Tuesday morning, 6:30 every Tuesday, even though it's just a small handful of us. That's why we pray and set aside these 24-hour prayers. God, we cannot do it alone. I tried to study in Bible college, seminary alone. I try to make it on my own, way too much on my own. Lord, help us to be people of prayer. Help us to be people that are dependent on you. You know what? I have a glove up here. Nicole took it away from me earlier. She thought somebody left it here. She took my prop. You know, when you put on a glove, not only can you swing this axe better and not get blisters, but I want you to see something, that this glove, when it's got a hand, when it's filled up, it can do something. When it's empowered, when it's filled up with a presence, it can do something. On its own, it's just going to dangle in the wind. Come on, glove, start swinging away. I can sit here and talk to it all day long. You know what? It needs a filling. Come on, right? It needs a filling of presence. Elisha, would you come and be with us? It doesn't say, we don't have any more information than what I read, but I can imagine it wasn't so they could show off their axe-cutting skills, right? We don't know exactly how old Elisha was, but at least from what we can tell in Scripture, he wasn't swinging an axe. It was the young prophets doing the work. They wanted his presence. Because if we know you're there, God, if we know you're filling us up, if we know you're empowering us, we can pick up that tool and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do we want his presence? Do we? Or are we doing this? Yeah. Thanks, Judy. Are we just doing it? Point number two that we can get from this story. It's so easy to lose our sharp edge of his divine call in our life. It's so easy. I'm going to read a story for you. There was once a young man who wanted to be hired by a lumber company. And so he went to the foreman and he asked him, he says, "Can I have a job?" The foreman said, "Yes, young man, you can have a job. But first, let me introduce you to Bill. If you can keep up with Bill, then you can have the job." The young man looked over and thought, "No problem, this guy's an old guy." He says, I can cut down twice as many trees as this guy." So the two of them started cutting down trees. The old man would cut a tree, and then the young man would cut a tree. And about every few steps, the young man would notice that Bill would sit down and stop cutting. The young man thought, "I'm easily going to get ahead of him now. Now's my chance to get another tree and get a few more ahead of him." Hour after hour went by, and by the end of the day, the foreman went back and counted the trees. Bill, the old guy, had twice as many trees as the young man. "What? How?" cried the young man. "I worked twice as hard. I never rested. I kept cutting. I kept cutting," he insisted. And at this point, Bill said, "Let me see your axe." And he held up the axe and he said, "Son," Bill said, "you didn't stop to sharpen your axe. Boy, you can swing all day long, but it will take you forever to cut down a tree with that dull axe." You see, it's so easy that we lose our cutting edge. If all we do is work and work and work, and we're not honoring the Lord in our Sabbath, and I'm talking to myself now, y'all. I'm preaching to myself. I'm really bad at this myself, admittedly. If we're not honoring the Lord and taking rest, if we're not connecting, if we're not refueling, if we're not being filled, we get worn out. We call it burnout. We get tired. We can't do that kind of work. It's too much. We've lost our cutting edge. How do we lose our cutting edge? Compromise? Complacency? Not taking the time, not slowing down, doing the duty, not doing it with God. Lots of ways that we lose our cutting edge. Losing the love of the Lord, losing our prayer life. Losing our passion. Our first love. See, there's a lot in this little bizarre story that we need to hear. Number three, we have to go back to where we've lost it. You know, sometimes it's like a spare tire. We like to think of God like a spare tire. It's there if we need it, but we hope we don't have to use it. Right? Think about that. That's what a spare tire is there for. It's there, we're glad. If we're going to do a road trip, we're glad it's there. But we hope we don't have to use it. See, one of the ways we've lost our cutting edge is we treat God like a spare tire. One of the ways that we realize we're not connecting with him is we treat him like a spare tire. 50 cents of God, right? Quick little prayers. Sunday morning attendance at church. Check. Did that. Done. Lord, return us back to you. You know, we pray for revival on Tuesday mornings. That's the purpose of Tuesday morning prayer. We pray for revival. And I think without a doubt, every time we pray, it's, Lord, begin with us. If we're going to be an awakening to this community, if we're going to have real impact in Warford and the evangelism that Bill and Julia and others do on Tuesday night in Hickman Mills area, if we're going to have any kind of impact with what we do, it starts with people with prayer. It starts with connecting with the Lord. It starts with recognizing that we've lost our cutting edge. Number three, what do we know about this? What's a principle that we can learn? When this guy who was chopping away, remember he's chopping away, and suddenly the axe head goes flying off. He must have taken a swing back, and there it goes. The whole head flies off and goes flying off into the water. And the first thing he says, at least in the version I read this morning, English Standard Version, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." If you're Australian, be crikeys, right? If you're South African, oi! Right? Whatever version you like. If you're an American, it'd probably be with expletives in it, right? I've lost it because it was borrowed. Now, what's the significance about that? Point number three, all we have in life and our ministry is borrowed. What we have is given to us by God, and it's on loan. Back in Elisha's day, these prophets probably were poor, good Bible college students, right? Didn't have a lot of money, maybe couldn't afford an axe. Probably also because this is in the 3rd BC where there wasn't a lot of metal, there wasn't a lot of iron. As a matter of fact, we find out in other places in both Chronicles and Kings that Saul and his army only had two swords. We find out that there wasn't even a metal worker in all of the land. So there's other scriptures that kind of point to, you know what? There seems to be a scarcity of iron. So maybe for that reason he had to borrow it. We don't know. What we do know is it's borrowed. And he cries out, "Alas, master," or as the NIV says, "Oh no, it's borrowed." See, back then, when you lost something, you were indebted. They didn't have Lowe's and Home Depot that could just take a 20-minute drive and go buy another one and put it on their credit card. Right? That was it. And when you've lost your cutting edge, when you've lost this ability to be sharp and chop away at your task the Lord's called you to and the ministry that he's given you, and you lose your axe head, you don't got nothing to work with. You feel empty. You feel void. Because we forgot that even the tool we got was borrowed. The gifts and callings of God are given as a gift. It is by his grace. What we have, what we own, this is why we give our tithes and offerings, just as Athol prayed, to recognize and admit and submit and give to the Lord what already belongs to him. It's just on loan. It's just on loan. The tools, the ministry we have today may be gone tomorrow. It's just on loan. What has God put in your hand? Let's look at some implications. What has he put in your hand? What has he given you that's on loan, that you've borrowed? Maybe it's time for some of you, because you've asked the Lord for strength in your health, because you're wrestling with health issues. Maybe for some of you, it's finances, because you've got financial burdens. See, like this Bible school student, he was asking God for a miracle. Like this prophet, young prophet in the making, under the tutelage of Elisha. "Master, I've lost it. Help me. Help me find it." What have we borrowed by God's grace? What have we been given by God's grace? Are we using it? Do we even pick up the tool? Maybe we got to start there for some of us. Are we even picking up the tool? Or have we went, you know what, that's not for me. I'm leaving that one behind. Nope, can't do that one. That'll cost me too much. It's too heavy. It's too much of a burden. I might have to get more involved. I like my Game of Thrones episodes more than that. Right? What's God put in your hand? When we recognize all of it has been borrowed, and we know who owns it and who owns us and paid dearly for us. Number four, we have to go back to the place where we lost it. When this man loses the axe head, he says to the prophet, he says, help me find it, more or less. Help! Alas! For it was borrowed. Elisha's response is, go show me where you lost it. Go show me. We don't know exactly where Elisha was, but he must have been far enough away to where he had to go show him. What's that tell me? What's that hopefully tell you? We got to go back to the place we lost it. If you've lost your cutting edge, if you've lost your axe head, if you've lost your tool, you're not going to find it here right now where you're at. You're going to find it back in the place where you lost it. Because it's where we lost it that we find it. What's that mean? I don't know how you connect with the Lord, but I connect most of all through what I call my walkie-talkies. I like to put on my little earbuds, take my phone, go out for walks, especially in the dark. Something about in the dark or twilight, early morning, late at evening, and go for walks. And I have the music on, especially some older classical kind of music, not classical, but older Christian music, I call classical, you know, back in the days, right, that I connect with because they bring me back to the place where I first connected with God. There are songs I can hear that only some of you are going to recognize these names, by Nancy Honeytree, for example, that will bring me back to those places, some of those earlier ones by Amy Grant, that I just go back to those teenage days where I first heard about Christ. Your songs may be completely different than my playlist, I know. But when I hear those songs, they bring me back to those places where I first connected with the Lord. You know what? If I've lost my axe head for the day, I go for a walkie-talkie. I go walking and I go talking. I say, Jesus, I need your help. And I connect with him and I connect and I purposely use the sound of music. For me, that's very powerful. People, places, things where we've lost our anointing, where we've lost our connection, where we've lost that ability. The Lord wants to bring us back to the place we've lost it. Where do you last remember losing your axe head? Where did it fall off into your waters? Let's talk about that part. First of all, the waters are deep. The Jordan River isn't so wide, but it's very fast rushing and deep, especially back in those days before they've widened it and channeled it and done some of the things they've done in modern day times. So that's not exactly a place you can go looking very easily. And if you can imagine that axe head just kind of flying off, hopefully you could kind of catch a glimpse of at least approximately where it went. And I don't know about you, but first of all, this story is a miracle because, I mean, this has the handle on it, but this thing's heavy. These things don't float. And we know by the end of the story, I already read it, that this thing floats to the top of the water. These things don't float. It was a miracle. And sometimes we need a miracle to bring us back to that place of connection with the Lord. Sometimes we just need to go and get it ourselves. We'll talk about that in a moment. So what happens? They go down to the water, and it says there that Elisha cut a stick, and he threw it into the water, and the axe head floated to the surface. Now think about that. First of all, why did he cut down a stick? Why didn't he just take the axe handle and throw it in the water? Questions we're not going to get answered today. That makes me wonder. But he went and he took a stick. Now, I happen to have a stick here. Just for fun. I have no idea if it looked like this, but imagine a stick, and he cut down something like this, and he threw it into the water, right? And as this floated, somehow the axe head floated up to the top of the water. Amazing. But it took a stick. It took a stick. It took some wood. It took some wood. Do you know another time where wood was used to save? Where another piece of wood was used to bring healing, to bring hope. See, it's a type of Christ. Elisha took a stick and threw it in the water, and there was a miracle that brought hope, that brought a cutting edge back to a man so he could put that axe head down, back on it, and go back to work, back to his calling. You see, for some of us, we need this miracle right here. Maybe for some of you in the room, it's to know the Christ for the very first time. To quit playing the church game and say, yes, Lord Jesus. For others, maybe we need to go back to this cross and say, I need this cross, this stick in my life to raise up in me again where I've lost my connection. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the days, right? Lots of beautiful hymns around the cross. God knows sometimes it takes a stick to bring us back. Fifth and final point, we have to do our part. Elisha had the man reach out and grab the floating axe head. Think about that. That's what the story says. So imagine this axe head is floating in the water, right? And he reaches out and he has to grab it and pull it out of the water. Now, if it was such a miracle that the axe head floated, which is pretty amazing, why didn't Elisha or God just supernaturally have the axe head go, come right back onto the shaft? Why float on water? Why have to, I can imagine they had to, kind of come down to the creek and, to the river and have to reach in and pull it out. And there was some effort. There was some work that had to be done. There was an effort that had to be done to that. See, sometimes we need to reach out and grab it. Sometimes we need to do our part. Lauren Cunningham, founder of YWAM, often would say, pray as though it all depends on you. Work as though it all depends. Pray as all depends on God. Work as all depends on you. I'll say it again since I got it backwards. Pray as though it all depends on God. Work as though it all depends on you. That's a good balance. See, sometimes we have to reach out and grab it, not from an abracadabra song, right? We need to reach out and grab it. We need to do our part. Why didn't it just float and pop back onto the shaft? Because that's too easy. And I think some of us here today are waiting for the easy miracle. I just want to sit back and watch it happen. If it doesn't happen, then I can blame God. See, this young prophet could have blamed the owner. Why did the owner give me such a crappy axe? He should have taken better care of it, right? Complaint. This is where we usually go when we've lost our axe head, folks. We grumble and complain about everything else instead of taking personal responsibility. See, he had to take responsibility, not only crying out and admitting it, alas, I don't have it. Help, I've lost it. It was borrowed. But he also had to reach out and grab it. I want you to hear that today. Maybe you need to do your part. Stop waiting around, waiting for the miracle to come to you. What about reaching out and grabbing it through prayer, through giving, through sowing into the very need that you have? That's one of the principles I learned in my years with YWAM. Whatever you need, sow that in, and the Lord will give it back. And he's always, always been faithful to do that. He is faithful. He cannot deny himself. He is just. He loves to do it. He loves to bless us. But sometimes we need to reach out and grab it. In conclusion, first of all, we need to just own it. We need to reach out and grab that axe head, right? We need to admit our part. We need to say, Lord, I need your help. I can't do it alone. I don't want to do it alone. I need your infilling. I need your power. I need you to come and fill me up. Take control. Fill me. Use me. Mold me. Make me. Because I'm tired of doing it on my own. I cannot do it by myself. We need to admit it. We need to say, Lord, give me the strength. We need to take ownership. I've lost the axe head. I've lost my cutting edge. I need to do something. And we need to reach out and go, God, I'm trusting you for that miracle. Where have you lost your axe head? Where did you last leave it? Where did you last lose that cutting edge and feel like it disappeared out of your hands? Where did your love for the Lord grow cold? Let's just take a moment and ask the Lord, God, show me, as we bring this home to where is it in my heart? I think I've told this story before, so I'll make this really short. I had a shed fire back in 2012, Father's Day. My backyard shed caught on fire. Not exactly sure what happened, but all I know is at 1 o'clock in the morning, my daughter Anna says, Dad, wake up. Dad, the shed's on fire. And I open the curtains of our bedroom, and there's a gigantic ball of fire out in the backyard. And to make a very long story short, we lost everything, literally burned everything. The fire department came, and I forget what the fire chief said, but it was so hot that the two aluminum ladders I had melted into a pool of aluminum. And it takes a lot of heat, according to the fire chief. I forgot what he told me. So it was a hot one. That's what he said. I said, what caused it? He says, I don't know, but it was a hot one. I'm like, well, that's real helpful. But I lost all the stuff in my shed. But here's the good news. This was an old, decrepit shed. I had old tools in there. I had literally a riding lawnmower that no longer worked. I had a bunch of junk, really, seriously. But here's the story that God taught me through that lesson. When my insurance company said, they'd said, we will replace your shed, we'll replace your tools, but we need you to make an itemized list. We need you to tell us what you had in there and how much it cost. How many of you can remember what you've got in your shed, right? Fortunately, I had taken a picture of it,
I had taken a picture of it. And so Lisa, my wife, and I, we sat down, we made a list. We looked up prices, we sat on the internet, and we kept almost grumbling, like, oh, this is such a pain. Why don't they just give us a lump sum, right? Why do I have to go to all this work? And I remember kind of grumbling to myself, because it really took some time. You got to be very specific when you itemize for your insurance company. But here's the lesson. The more I itemized, the more I got. The more specific I was, the better I got. I got a picture I'll have David put up there of a brand new shed. I got a shed from an Amish place out in middle of Missouri there. They delivered it to my backyard. Beautiful shed. I got to go to Lowe's and buy a brand new riding lawnmower, a brand new push mower, a new axe. This is my new one. All sorts of tools. And all I had to do was turn in the receipts. What's the lesson? You see, when we've lost something and we admit it, and we go to the hard work of reaching out and grabbing it, and we turn in those receipts, so to speak, with God, He loves to pay us back. He loves to bless us. He loves to give abundantly and bountifully so we can go about the work of the kingdom. So we can do what He's called us to do. Isn't that amazing? I want to end with a song that I want you to listen to. And just reflect for a moment. Where have you lost your axe head? Where have you lost your cutting edge, your anointing? Maybe it's time to come back to the cross. After this song, we'll go right into the closing song together. But I want you to take a moment and just ponder with me. And apply it to your heart and life this morning. What does God want to restore to you? What miracle maybe do you need? What effort maybe do you need to do in reaching out and taking it? What does God want to do to bring the cutting edge back to your life? Take a look. And come with me on a walkie-talkie to Longview Lake. Lord, help us to be people that seek your face, that turn from our own wicked ways, that draw after you, Lord, to have you empower us, to fill us up, so that we might go about the work of the kingdom. We might come back to the place where we've lost it, Lord, and receive our calling and our gifting again, to hear from you, Lord, and to say yes to you, Lord, afresh and anew. Lord, we need your help. We can't do it without you, Lord. We've tried. I try. I still try way too much to do it without you, Lord. We need your help. Lord, would you help us, I pray, and strengthen us as a church. In Jesus' name.